Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everyone, with Dr. X once again, and I'm Hydro. And in this episode, we have a very special guest. It is Koi, the creator slash admin slash person who launched Barag. Welcome, Koi.
Hey, well, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you on. So tell us, how did Barag first come to be? Like, how did you come up with it? I prior to the episode starting, you were telling us about how you saw Pawu had launched, and you apparently had came up with the idea of Barag like shortly after that.
So I guess the inception of Barag came about right around near the end of the Tumblr era. If I'm sure many people remember, Tumblr banned Not Safe for Work in porn sometime in 2018. I started Barag in 2017. And around that time, I was pretty active in the Tumblr scene, reblogging a lot of artists. I had quite a bit of following, because I didn't post any original content. I was just, I had a knack, I guess you could say, for finding a lot of either obscure artists or just artists that I feel like deserved a lot more attention for their work. That was probably during the time that I commissioned the most. I commissioned so much art. I just felt so bad because a lot of these artists, their Tumblrs would get, you know, nuked, or again, they would have to remake their profiles because someone would report them and they'd get banned. And this was even before Tumblr actually banned poor, Not Safe for Work. And I just felt like there has to be another way for artists to still, you know, have a place to share their art safely. And I just happened to come across the something that was coming out at the time, the social media platform, Pawu, Pawu.net. And this was started by Pixiv. A lot of artists use Pixiv as a gallery website. I was like, wow, this seems really interesting. Looking into it, Pawu uses something that is called Mastodon. It's basically like software that utilizes ActivityPub protocol, and it's kind of like how I would say, like, it, the easiest way to explain it would be it's like email meets social media meets Twitter, kind of like how someone that has an address at kahoo.com can message somebody from gmail.com, but Yahoo and Gmail and Google are not the same company, yet they're able to communicate. So with this in mind, it sounds like, okay, so Pixiv is able to create their own website, their own server, known as Pawu.net. Using the same software protocol, I can make my own site that can communicate with Pawu. And I thought this was just kind of a game changer. It's kind of totally, totally new and different than your typical platform where it's all controlled by one company, right? So like it allows people to choose which server best fits them. And I took this opportunity to create a server and trying to come up with a name for it. I was like, looking into it, I was like, why did Pixiv call it Pawu? Like, what is the meaning behind this? And I thought it was kind of clever. I was like, oh, they called it Pawu because Pawu is a onomatopoeia, the sound, the animal sound that an elephant makes, which is a reference to the Mastodon software that they're using to power this in the server that they're running. I'm like, oh, that's cute. Well, what is the onomatopoeia in English? because I want to make a website that caters to, like, you know, English speaking and Western artists to post, to host their artwork. Apparently, the onomatopoeia for elephant sound is barog. I didn't even know this, you know, obviously a native English speaker myself. Okay, well, I guess that's what we're gonna call it. And I guess the rest of, at that point is where we at now with, you know, the name and everything. Then I get that's kind of how I came up with just barog in general.
It's such a cool piece of trivia. I didn't know about that at all.
I really think that Puwil was great because it gave, you know, Japanese artists a place to post their work, to upload their stuff safely. But, you know, the big problem is that, I don't know if it's a problem, but it's certainly something that I think a lot of people don't realize, especially when it comes to Pixiv, is that when you upload to a website, a platform that is hosted in Japan, you have to follow their laws. It's physically, the server is physically located in Japan. Okay, so that means that their laws require you to censor, you know, genitals, the penis, vagina, or any kind of penetration. It's just frustrating because I would see a lot of artists, they would make an account on Pixiv and they would upload a bunch of uncensored stuff. And they'd be like, oh, well, I understand why I got like reported or I got post deleted or no, my account suspended. I see a bunch of other people doing, well, it's not really a fair thing. That's like, you know, if you get pulled over for speeding in a cop's light, you know, you are going over the speed limit and you're like, well, I saw a bunch of other people speeding and then, how come I got caught? It's like, that's not really a good excuse. And you have to realize, like, as they say, like when in Rome, you know, it's like, you kind of have to understand that just because you're not Japanese, you're still on a Japanese platform. I recognize that there really wasn't a place for people to upload their works uncensored. There really wasn't. I mean, otherwise it would be like Tumblr. Again, around this time, but 2016, 2017, shortly before they banned porn, that was where I could find actually a lot of like lolly or otherwise just controversial or, as I say, these quote-unquote problematic content. that would be where I could find uncensored stuff. But, you know, they're playing a very dangerous game, maybe because obviously you just take someone to get to report them. And next thing you know, like this blog, this account that they've tried so hard to work up a following is just gone, you know, just like that. And that's really damaging. It's really tough for artists, as I'm sure a lot of artists still deal with, you know, today with Twitter. Just how many artists can you think of that like continually just remake their account like time and time again? I've seen Japanese artists do it themselves. Like they're on like their fucking 15th or whatever, like dozens of accounts already, and they just keep coming back.
And you have to start from ground zero. Like you have no followers. So it's like, how do you communicate to people who previously knew your other account? How can you tell them, oh, this is my other account, because your other account's banned? Yeah, it's definitely a tough situation. And you know, what's great about barog is because it's on that system, that Mastodon system, it's putting all those convenient features that made Tumblr and Twitter good, like that made them in terms of a platform, because that's why people like it. It's a very convenient, the useful platform, especially for artists, because you can just see stuff.
A lot of people appreciate the convenience of everything being just very easily understood as far as controlled by just one company. And yeah, there is an advantage to that, but the disadvantage is now you just have one set of rules that you have to follow. And, you know, if you break those rules, that's kind of it. I mean, yeah, you can be upset, no, rightfully frustrated because you've lost your following and everything, but is kind of don't have much of a recourse. And that's what I like about the Fediverse, because, you know, if you don't like one server that you're on because you don't like the way it's moderated, you don't like the admin, you don't like the vibe of the community there, is really nothing stopping you from migrating, picking up your followers and pointing it to another server. It's quite a game changer in that aspect, but the cost to it is that I feel like it's kind of hard to explain to a lot of people the whole idea of like Earlier I was comparing it to email, just saying, oh, it's like email combined with Twitter. It doesn't really quite click with a lot of people, and I think it's getting better. A lot more people are willing to adopt it because we're seeing, for example, I'm not sure. Have you guys heard of Threads?
Yes. Isn't Threads the thing that Facebook launched Meta or whatever?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm not particularly a big fan of Meta or Facebook myself, or Zuckerberg.
What a surprise. What a surprise. You're not a fan.
What a surprise. But it is kind of, it feels like it confirms that maybe this is the right path in terms of technology for social media. Maybe this is the future, because what Threads is doing is they are actually building on the ActivityPub protocol. Essentially, Threads will be able to communicate with instances. So that's a huge adoption of just mainstream users possibly being introduced to something like this. And I think that over time, yeah, I think it will be more convenient. They'll have a lot more exposure to just the normies, the masses, as you might say.
Exactly. I mean, it's like if you have your parents or grandparents and like they're trying to use Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. But like with time, they'll figure it out. And I think it's the same thing with decentralized stuff like the Fediverse or Mastodon.
Yeah, well, with time, eventually, Grandpa will somehow see some woolly porn just boosted onto his timeline. And be like, wow, what the hell of this?
And then he'll comment based because he'll get used to like the whole how the youngins communicate. Well, you've also heard of Blue Sky as well, which they're kind of doing their own sort of, I don't know what their protocol is that they're using, but they're going for a similar kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's actually really interesting. I've been kind of closely following Blue Sky as well. Instead of the ActivityPub protocol, which the Fediverse uses, they use what's called AT protocol, and quite a different take on how you might handle a decentralized and federated social network. Similar idea, though, is like, no, you can create your own Blue Sky server, kind of like you can create your own Miskey or Mastodon or Pleroma or what have you. But the way it handles moderation is quite different. And there are actually a lot of things that I would say it does better than ActivityPub. But as it stands right now, it's still very early in development. I'm still only pretty closely because I like to see where it's going with that. And chances are, because there is already current development on it, that people are building a bridge between the AT protocol that Blue Sky uses and ActivityPub. It's extremely likely that in the future, people on Blue Sky will just be able to communicate with people on like Mastodon or Miskey or whatever. And their interface and maybe some of the functions might be a little different, but at the end of the day, they'll just be able to like comment or like or, you know, repost each other between these different platforms as if it was like, I guess, seamlessly, natively, even though they're using completely different protocols. And it won't be as much of a big deal which one you want to choose, but I think it's definitely interesting to see how they handle the moderation tools, which are much, much different than what Mastodon does with it.
I know right now, as of right now, Blue Sky doesn't actually allow Shonen Lolly.
No shocker there. It's right now the biggest one is the flagship, the main Blue Sky server, right? So, of course, they're not going to probably allow something like that. I actually have a friend that invited me to their old Blue Sky server that they spun up. I guess you could say that because they created their own server, then naturally I should be able to now post Loli and Shoda to their server and get away with it, right? Well, it's not quite that simple, and I'm not going to pretend like I am very technically informed on how moderation works between the different Blue Sky servers, but again, it's quite different. As I understand it, I think there are certain infrastructure parts of Blue Sky that make it so that If I was to upload Loli and Shota to my friend's Blue Sky server, which is separate from the flagship, it would basically make it so that that server gets like essentially like delisted, and like the posts will relay over to the main flagship.
Like defederation?
Yeah, might defederation, but probably even more harsh, because at the moment, like the flagship has the developers of Blue Sky pretty much still hold the keys as far as who actually gets like exposure on the network. And actually this can change, because I was talking to someone that is much more informed and understand how Blue Sky works. And it's a matter of them opening, you know, open sourcing. I don't know if I'm saying this right, but like the relay, that is a component to it that is, it's still closed source. It's not open yet. But once that is open, then there could be like a whole nother world of Blue Sky that allow this, that is not controlled or moderated by like the flagship Blue Sky developers and whatnot. And so, and right now it's not possible, but I do see it happening. I didn't joked around with some of my friends. I said, oh, maybe I could play around with the Blue Sky Barrage spinoff, and it'd be kind of like a waste of resources, to be honest. I am uninterested to see collecting. It will naturally happen. They're going to test the waters, and there's going to be some servers that pop up that will allow Alolan and Chota.
I think so too. Like to me, it really seems like decentralization is the future, where people have their own communities, essentially, instead of relying on just like the mega huge big tech stuff.
Yeah, enough for sure. I am a big believer in decentralization.
And Barrage is such an important part of that for artists, because it allows uncensored art of, you know, of really anything they want. To me, it's such I even see artists on Barrage who don't even make Loli or Shota, but they just appreciate that they can post whatever they want there without there being such a big issue.
Yeah. I actually really appreciate a lot of those artists. Just, they literally don't upload any Loli or Shota. They just like, their art is pretty much stuff that they could just otherwise have uploaded to Twitter or Instagram, just completely fine. But they have, I guess, they support my idea of being, you know, open to accepting any kind of art, you know. I really appreciate that they're willing to call Broad a home for their art. And it kind of actually is frustrating for me, as I have seen a lot of artists not want to join Barrage or leave after joining shortly, because they'd say, oh, this is a place like just for Loli, for Shota. Or like, this is an instance or server specifically for Loli Shota. That's not actually what I intended Barrage for. And, you know, officially, I'm not going to even say that's what it is. It's not an art server for Loli Shota art. It's an art server that doesn't censor the art that is being uploaded. And that's really what I think is important. Because again, a lot of my response to creating Barrage was people getting banned on Tumblr at the time, when, you know, Tumblr was still big. And also people getting banned on Pixiv, because people were not correctly censoring their stuff. And I was like, well, there needs to be a place for someone, for artists to safely and not fear being banned to post uncensored art. And just in general, all uncensored art, I feel like it gets at reputation of being Loli and Shota, because naturally the stuff that gets banned is Loli Shota. That's not exactly what I intended it to be. That's just a consequence of the fact that you're trying to post Loli Shota on Twitter or Tumblr. Well, where else can they really post it, right? But I welcome all artists. I welcome all art. I love just really any kind of subject matter or genre, as long as it's fictional or fantasy at the end of the day, you know? It's really all I care about.
Exactly. I am seeing an increase of artists on Barrage who don't do Shota and Loli, or don't mainly do it. And it might still be art that's stigmatized in other communities.
That's true.
Maybe not art that's necessarily banned. Like, for example, I've seen artists who do age gap relationships between characters who are adults. So it wouldn't get banned on Twitter necessarily, but they might still get shit from people because you know, how Twitter is.
Or like a Guru or a Gore, a lot of just,
yeah,
just really like, again, quote unquote, you know, problematic just in general. Might not maybe get you banned, but you know, catch a lot of flack. He might get canceled or whatever. So yeah, I do see a lot of that kind of art as well.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, there's so much stuff that other than Lolly and Shota that either gets stigmatized or outright banned. I know like Scat, for example, or Gore, like that stuff will just get banned because you know, the moderation team doesn't want to see it or something.
Well, a lot of times stuff that gets banned is just because too many people report it, and it's just when they get enough reports, it's just like, okay, technically maybe not breaking rules, but clearly a lot of people are upset, so you wouldn't want to deal with this anymore, you know, ban.
Yeah, and that shows one of the best values of Barag is that it was intended for artists to post whatever fictional art they want. So that's a big advantage compared to Twitter, for example, which is not explicitly for art or for artists.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think it's just people, again, of the apocalypse of Tumblr banning porn. I think to this day, it never really quite recovered.
No.
A lot of people didn't know where to go. As I said, well, I guess it's Twitter. And, you know, Twitter is not really a substitute for Tumblr. It's quite a it's meant for text posting. It's not a gallery sense. And yeah, and to be fair, Barad is actually not a gallery either. It's more closely mimics Twitter than Tumblr. And I've never tried to advertise or, I guess, promote Baron as a gallery website. Still definitely something that's more of a social media, and it is the similar vein of Twitter. I think it's great because it helps exposure for the artists. But as far as being like a dedicated gallery, like Pixiv, like that's not really what it's functioning as. Or like say Tumblr, when he had all those crazy galleries that it used to be able to have. It's more about connecting the artists on Barad with followers, right? And that's important in itself because, yeah, it might not be the most ideal way to view an artist's works, but it's still at least gives them the ability to reach out to their followers, to people that enjoy their works or share similar interests and kinks or whatever it is. I think that's still great.
Oh yeah, it definitely is.
When I like first learned about Barag from Dr. X, like I really appreciated that the philosophy that you mostly followed, because you're right, like it never said it was advertised exclusively for Lolly and Shota's stuff for artwork, but instead it was more the philosophy that if it's fictional art, you can post whatever you create and you will not be censored or you won't be banned or removed or anything like that. And I really appreciated that.
I think it just gets the rep that it has as being, oh, it's that Lolly Shota Macedon channel or something. Is because, well, I mean, just naturally, they have nowhere else to go. So it's that's what dominates a community where they're seeking refuge. That's just how it just naturally happens. Not because I tried to promote it that way. I do feel really good when I see a lot of other artists start joining that don't do that, because it just helps to prove the case that, hey, you know, this isn't just like some kind of lowly show to safe haven or anything like that. It's for all art, you know? And then I'm like placing it.
Yeah, it's an art freedom site, which I really appreciate. And I definitely am seeing more non-lolly show to artists coming on Barag, like pretty damn often. And I've also noticed in the past, I think especially a couple of years, the Barag has been getting exponentially bigger.
Certainly slowed down in the past, I guess, maybe year and a half in terms of growth. And that's intentional because pretty much since I started in 2007 to 2023, I think I had the time frame right, but I had left Barag on open registrations, which anybody can register an account. But I'm not sure if y'all aware, but you know, right now it's in for, I think it's been quite a while, like this several months, maybe almost even a year, that I've kept it as closed registrations with the application process. Unfortunately, is more of a response to the fact that I don't have the resources to handle problems with bad actors. As someone that, you know, is a firm believer and an advocate of decentralization in general. It's not even something that I care to begin with as far as seeing Barad become the biggest. Like, I don't care. I don't answer to a bunch of shareholders that are looking at my user count. They're like, oh, is it growing? Like, that's great. It needs to get bigger. Like, no, I don't care about that. I am trying to make Barad the biggest and baddest instant server on the Fediverse possible. In fact, I would love if a lot of artists would look into starting their own server and spinning it up and then using that as a way to, you know, communicate with Barad artists, AT artists, Miski artists, Puu artists, and that people was just have their own small little communities like with their friend or whatever.
Yeah, and there's an advantage to that, as we talked about before, is that each community can have its own set of rules. And what that means is that you're not like just recreating the same problem where there's just one big almost centralized server for everything and like no one's making anything else or with different rules. So it kind of does lend itself towards that spirit of decentralization anyways.
Right. And actually that's a great point. Like that really is the spirit of you know, the Fediverse and spirit of decentralization. And I think maybe as more people, thanks to the adoption with Threads, like I mentioned earlier with Meta or whatever, and maybe that's something that people will start to do. And I do look forward to seeing that there needs to be more communities like Broad. I don't care to have Broad be the only one, because the more there is, that the safer and better it is for the community to have a place to share their stuff. That's really what I would look to see.
Yeah, exactly. Because that way, I won't place so much strain on individual instances.
Yeah.
And, you know, secondly, they can have their own rules, their own vibe. If you don't like the vibe of one instance, you go to a different instance like you were talking about. So yeah, I'd really like to see, even though I like really appreciate Barad, and it's awesome and amazing. But I would like to see a whole bunch of other servers that allow different kinds of art, any kind of fictional art, because that would really help things overall. Because right now, Barad is not open registrations, and Athe isn't either. You have to do an application. So there is definitely a lot of utility in other people making their own instances for like art freedom sites.
Yeah, and I think it's also just really neat seeing people make instances that cater to a very specific interest or art style. Even like there's furry art communities. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I know there's several of them. And there's just literally so many different types of instances that center around their hobbies and interests. There's ones for like music, and there's one for like Vocaloids. Like, it's just like it's cool, because when people see someone on the Fediverse that are interacting with, that they look at their username, which is, yes, say for example, someone at Barad.net. You see someone with that address, that name, and you're interacting with them. It's pretty safe that to know that they're probably like artists, right? From Baran. But if you see someone at Vocaloid, I don't know, I think there's one called like Vocalodon or something like that, which is a play on Mastodon of Vocaloid. But something like that, Vocalodon.net, I think is an instance. Then so like, oh, well, clearly this person is like, that their interests are around Vocaloid. It's kind of a quick way to identify what they might align themselves with, whether it could be politics, it could be, you know, interests, whatever it is. I think that's kind of a cool way to support and align yourself with what you might be passionate about.
Well, that's a great point, because there's like nothing like that on Twitter or even really Tumblr, because it's just like individual blogs. I mean, you could name your blogs a certain something, but it wouldn't give as much detail compared to like the instance someone has registered at.
It almost reminds me of like a giant like forum, like an old school forum that has all the categories, and you're just kind of like, I want to look for Vocaloid stuff.
Yeah.
And then you go in there, and that's all. That's kind of what it reminds me of in some way. It makes me realize, though, it goes back to like what you were saying earlier, that would be an amazing thing to have happen. Just have millions and millions of users in all these different communities, yet they can all kind of interact and interweave with each other as they want to. But I think the only barrier, like you said, is the accessibility and the understanding of how it works and how you get it set up just needs to be a little more either streamlined or understood. And I think once that convenience factor becomes better, you're going to see even more people doing that.
I would love to see that. It is one of those things, I have to admit, setting up your own server is not, it's not like a plug and play, like, you know, press a button and you got your own, you know, server that can communicate on a Fediverse. You know, we'll see how it goes as a technology develops and maybe more people adopt a decentralized social media.
Now, you said you started Brag as a general, like, all kinds of art kind of site, but is there any kind of genres of art or certain kinds of characters that you really enjoy seeing in art yourself?
I am definitely, admittedly, into size and age difference. So with, you know, like a loli and like an older guy, or a shota and a older woman.
Nice.
Yeah.
The losings definitely are something I'm very interested in. Also incest. I think incest is one of those really big kinks of mine as well. So I do love like incest art.
Well, so it is with ours as well.
I don't know if you know this already, but we do make the Incestual Awakening series, which is straight shota incest.
Yeah, I have not got around to me playing it, but I do know by looking into it. I'm definitely I'm curious to check it out, because as I understand it, the main characters are shota, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely something I could be keen to check out.
Yeah, and you're definitely among friends here liking size difference and age difference and loli and shota and incest.
Yeah, and again, like I said, I didn't intend to make Barag for that type of art, which I happen to also enjoy a lot myself, but they make sense because, you know, for me, when I was following a lot of artists on Tumblr, the kind of artists that would get banned a lot were the artists making that kind of stuff, right? So it's like, I guess really what it is I do have a very heavy interest just in general of things that are taboo. But definitely on the top of the taboo list as age and size difference and incest.
And it's the sort of thing where, like, I think especially people who are into shonen loli, they might really, like, really understand, like, the value of art freedom compared to maybe some other people who have their interests less stigmatized. So there's, I guess, less of a need for them to think about that kind of thing.
Yep.
But if you're into shonen loli or incest or age difference, size difference, that's the sort of stuff that's especially stigmatized against, you'll think about that more often because it's more of a practical thing for you.
Absolutely. And also, I think I do also like furry art. I admittedly was much more into the furry phase when I was younger. But, you know, that being said, I still do definitely appreciate furry. And I can see a lot of artists, too, that are on Barag that they do, like, feral stuff and things like that. That's a pretty, I guess, problematic type of art to draw that usually gets panned elsewhere as well. I'm not, like, super, super bay of feral. There's some kinds of feral that I can appreciate a lot, but I definitely have Eddie like furry.
Do you like My Little Pony stuff?
Believe it or not, I finally just got around to watching My Little Pony, like the first two episodes, and I did like it. But before, more recently, watching My Little Pony for the very first time, I liked feral just mares and like horse porn, which is kind of interesting. You would think that because I like that kind of art, I would have naturally already been into My Little Pony, but for whatever reason, I honestly can't explain to you why. I never got into MLP until recently, but before that, there's a lot of art for like horse porn, I guess you can say, that I did find appealing.
Were you into like a human male and like a female horse sort of stuff?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I can definitely understand that. I want to say that the genitals aren't super different. I think that's what makes it easier for me.
Maybe.
The genitals aren't super different from humans, but, you know, everyone's got their own reason for liking stuff.
Yeah, I think maybe it could also be because of that size difference.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, naturally there's a size difference between a human male or a man or whatever and a mare, a horse, pussy. Like, that pussy is huge. The guy that usually likes Waller. y'all like stand on a fucking like stand or something, a little stool to eat and get up there.
that's true. I could see that. Yeah.
Oh, that stuff is fun.
You know what's funny? I love how there's people who may not necessarily be into Feral Horse, but they absolutely love characters from like Monster Musume.
Oh, Yulia.
who are like the part human, part horse, and then they're okay with it. Then they're just like, yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I can definitely fuck with centaurus. Very crazy. Yeah, I like that stuff too, for sure. Actually, I used to draw a lot of furry porn. I formerly posted to for Affinity. The account's not active now, but...
Do you have an OC?
Yeah, I did.
Was it like a fursona?
No, I never had a fursona. Like, I never... If I didn't embody like a furry character, not that I have a problem with everything, it's just one of those things like I can never really like imagine myself, say like getting a fursuit. I think I admire the art and craft of it. It's just so expensive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many degrees to the furry stuff. Like for example, you know, Hydro and I, we don't identify as furry, but we like furry art. So it's like, there's not only degrees, but there's also the matter of like how you identify.
Yeah.
And like even in the thing you mentioned, someone might have a fursona but not be interested in the fursuit thing at all. So it's just kind of interesting how people interact with everything.
When you said you enjoyed furry art but you're not really furry, I mean, I don't think I would identify myself as a furry. I'm not like, at least these days, not really that deep into the furry community. But probably the most recent character that I became enamored with is Portia from Sing 2, the Illumination 3D movie. Absolutely love that character. I even commissioned a couple artists of her. That was probably like honestly my last commission that I've done. What was it, like since I'm like last year or something like that. But as far as drawing, I don't certainly draw furry art much anymore.
Are you still doing art right now?
Yeah, I draw and doodle, but I'm really weird about it. I don't share my art anywhere. I don't know. I don't really like showing it to anybody. So it's very private.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, some artists are like that.
Even though I still draw and I don't post, I am pretty passionate about art because as a kid, honestly, for as long as I can remember, I've been drawing. In fact, I think like one of my earliest memories as a child, I think held in kindergarten, the teacher asked everybody to like freely draw whatever you wanted during class on like some paper with crayons. I don't even remember what it was exactly that I was drawing, just that it felt good that all the other kids and my teacher was praising me because they're like, oh, they look so good and everything. What I do remember, even though I don't remember what I was drawing, was there was a kid next to me that was like copying my drawing, like line for line and composition and everything. And it made me upset. I basically whined to the teacher. I told her to tell him to stop copying everything I was drawing. And I just, that was this like literally my earliest memory as a kid was this experience of drawing and having everyone around me just like, oh, this is so cool. And getting into that from kindergarten all the way up into middle school, I was like very active in like after school art programs and stuff like that. I did like watercolor painting and oil painting and stuff in different, even sculpting a little bit. I guess I took after my mom because she was also a painter and a sculptor and did that a lot herself. And I really appreciate that she's just supportive of me like not doing that. And then I got into high school and my dad really drilled it into me that like aspirations of making art like a career would doom me into a life of homelessness. So during high school, to kind of appease him, I went down a path of trying to pursue like the medical field. That didn't really go too well just because I absolutely hated it. It was more like doing something because of how what my dad wanted me to do and my heart and my passion. I really wanted to draw. Still something I couldn't even think. I was like, damn, what if back then I had just tried to make that work? Well, I didn't. And I ended up not doing too well in, I guess, the medical pursuit of being like, I think I was trying to do, be like assistant nurse or maybe like a pharmacist or something like that. And end up being a college dropout. And which is fine because, you know, it's, I end up getting a career in a much different field now that's not art related. I still feel pretty passionate even about the current work that I do. It's just part of honestly why I like what I do with Barad, why I'm so passionate about Barad, is because I see a lot of artists that make a living with their art. Like they're able to make it with commissions and Patreon, or if they hadn't been banned on Patreon, like Subscribestar or something else. And
we got banned once.
They got banned once, yeah. Yep. Oh, you guys got banned. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we got suspended multiple times, and we had to take off our Straight Shota Incest game off of the Patreon, of course. Well, there was a period of where we did have it on for a few months. We were doing pretty damn well. There was a period on Patreon where you could, like, in practice get away with it. It's not like it was allowed.
You kind of found like a loophole to stand in the radar at the thing, right?
Yeah, it was a staying under the radar sort of thing, and then there was like a band wave that we were part of. But you know, it was a good time at the, you know, while it lasted.
It's a good run.
Yeah, and now we've got Subscribestar, which has served us pretty well.
Yep, that's pretty much the same way that happened with you know, Broad used to have a Patreon and had a good run, and now we're using Fanbox and Subscribestar, which works fine. But yeah. Seeing a lot of artists make a living off of this, it's so inspirational and makes me think like this, they're doing what I basically, what was an ache. I didn't take the leap to do that myself when I was younger, because that was a huge aspiration for me, was just like, maybe I could draw for a living, make money off of like just doing art. But I didn't, you know, and I tried to get into, I guess, you know, medical career. That didn't work out, and now I got like 3 fucking jobs. Kind of a workaholic, but I'm passionate. I feel like it all goes towards helping cover the cost of Barad, and also I'm grateful for all like the donation and stuff like that. But I need to make sure that I work enough to have enough money to pursue either my own personal like goals in life and hobbies and cost of living and everything, and make sure that the money that I get from, you know, donations, the ports, that I don't put that. I need to make sure that this build up enough funds to keep the lights on. It's always going to be up and coming, because it's like Pariah has gotten a lot more expensive to maintain. I just need to make sure that I always have the funds to make sure that it never, you know, dies. That's probably what keeps me working all the time.
So like, if anyone is listening to this and they appreciate Barag and they have the means to support Barag, seriously consider doing so. You're doing the community a great service. So I really have to thank you for all the work you do. And
yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. I remember you were saying that, you know, you're enabling some artists, a lot of artists, honestly, to make a living out of their art, something that you kind of want to do yourself. And I was just thinking, like, even though that might not have been what happened in your life, where your main thing was art for like a living, people who do make art for a living, they need a platform like Barag for that.
Yeah,
someone needs to do it, and you know, I'm so glad that you decided to do that.
Yeah, I definitely get that question a lot. Like, why do I do this? Like, I don't clearly make a profit off of Barag. My answer would be because I'm just really passionate about getting artists just that safe space to, whether they're doing it as a hobby, whether they're doing it for personal reasons, just to have a place to post their art, or whether they're trying to make a living, that it doesn't matter. Like all of it, I think is important to me. You know, I was not able to ever pursue that art career that I've always wanted growing up as a kid. You know, what I do now, I am also actually quite passionate about too, as far as my career. I actually, not to give away too much details about my personal life, my main job, I work in an office. It's kind of like, I guess, like white collar, just very boring, kind of soul crushing. Have to dress up all the time. But I moonlight 2 other jobs. One of the jobs is I work at a sex shop, adult store. It allows me to be passionate specifically about sex education. You know, my main job, like I said, not to talk about exactly what it is, but I kind of mentioned it was a boring office, very soul crushing. Certainly pays a whole lot more than the sex shop, but it's, again, very soul crushing. But when I work in a sex shop and I'm helping people with their sex life and their personal relationships, it's just so satisfying because there's a lot of sexual repression, a lot of stigma. And those people that, you know, come in that they literally don't know a lot about even how to either pleasure themselves in a healthy way or, you know, how to pleasure the partner. And it feels really good when, you know, they might come in embarrassed or they'll know how to even ask this question and I can help them kick out like the right products, the right way to do something, you know, and I really enjoy it. That part of my job as well.
I honestly think that your work on Bragg really helps for that as well, because
yeah.
In my opinion, I think people who make erotic art in a large part, they are sex workers themselves because they make a living or they make money off of sex, essentially. Even if it's not with their own bodies, it is with the art they make.
Exactly. I think it's a good comparison that as far as the adult industry, because even though a lot of not safe for work artists that do commissions and not selling their body, like you said, but they run into a lot of the same stigma and a lot of the same hurdles that sex workers that run into, which is they have their banks shut down. They lose, like, you know, they get blacklisted. They get banned from one of these main platforms. They lose all their followers. They have to start over from scratch again. It's actually quite similar. I do see that, I guess, crossover with that.
Yeah, the commonality really is there's stigma around sexual feelings. Even if they're super vanilla stuff, there's even stigma against that. So, I have to thank you again for helping that aspect as well, because there's definitely the sex worker aspect of Bragg and other sites like that that have like erotic art, and you're right that there's a lot of similarities between the struggles they face.
Personally, I am a bit advocate and support of sex workers. Working in a sex shop, it's pretty typical, pretty common, pretty normal for sex workers to come into the sex shop. They're buying like lingerie to wear, to like say they're to the strip club, to man a dance, or they're buying stuff because they're a cam girl or OnlyFans and they need to buy like a toy. So it can have some kind of performance, like solo, a stream or something like that. I interact with, I guess, the sex workers and that world a lot. And I see a lot of that same, again, commonality that you mentioned with their struggles as far as just trying to make a living.
Remember when OnlyFans was essentially threatening to ban porn in their site? And the amazing thing that happened is that they basically reversed course and they didn't end up doing that. And to me, that really signaled a pretty good future for sex workers, that
yeah,
that people are recognizing that it's not like, it's not a joke, it's not a game, it's people's very real lives that are involved in this, and that it's okay if you want to make money or make a living off of sex or stuff related to sex. And I think increasingly more and more people are realizing that it's like a justice issue. It's a human rights issue to allow people to make money or making living off that stuff if they want to.
Yeah, you know, and I do want to emphasize that, you know, it's most important when we're talking about like consent and people that are in this because they want to, because I'm not going to beat around the bush. Well, a lot of people, when they make arguments against sex work, they will bring up the part about exploitation, and that is a real issue. That is a problem. But I feel like when you make something that is so stigmatized and illegal and you don't provide the proper channels for support and help, the people that are being exploited have nowhere, they may get further exploited.
Yep.
They're in a more dangerous position. So, and I hold this opinion about drugs as well. And another thing, as far as legalization, it's just like, good intentions, because there are people that fortunately slip through the cracks that are being abused and being exploited. But the best way to make sure that they don't slip into these cracks is to give them support and actually make it so that for all the people that do actually want to make this a legitimate lifestyle, but they get access to that same support as well, so that they don't get abused and exploited.
Exactly. And it's honestly, it reminds me of the decentralization thing in a way, where like OnlyFans, you can just register there and make your own stuff in the comfort of your home. You don't have to have like a boss who is possibly abusive. You don't have to work with a big porn company or,
yep,
or anything like that. You can make it your own. And I think that's a big part of safety, is that empowering people to be their own boss instead of having to rely on someone who might try to exploit them.
Well, yeah, like a pimp or a human trafficker is on what that writ.
Exactly. So it just goes back to what you said, when we're empowering people to basically decide how they want to do things instead of them having to go to some big entity or some other person, it really does help. And that's one of the big reasons why decentralization works and is so helpful for people. And I really do believe it going forward.
Decentralization, when specifically what I like about it is that there's still ability to communicate across these multiple platforms. But when things are centralized, you're putting all your chips into one thing. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall, and it hurts a lot more, right? So it's like, say one day, you know, hope it never happens, but say Barak goes down, it's done. But it's still an ability for people on Barak to migrate, to export the profile, their followers, everything to another server. And that's, I feel like that is the beauty of decentralization, right?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, that's what I like. But when putting all your chips into Tumblr or like Twitter or something, it's just like, yeah, well, what happens when it gets MySpaced? You know, it's like, well, that's it. Like, kind of start over from ground zero at another platform that's centralized, that's being managed by some faceless corporation or something like that, right? I think I've had enough of large, giant, centralized services. I think we need to embrace decentralized platforms.
Exactly. So if anyone has the means to do so and is interested in doing so, they can honestly, seriously think about making your own instances for what you want, not necessarily for art freedom. But that would be pretty nice, because we don't only want it to be Barak, or only Barak and Athey. More instances would be really nice. And it helps Barak too.
Clint, is also nothing wrong with having multiple like accounts on the Fediverse or an early centralized network in general. It's like, it's kind of like how you might have multiple email addresses. I know I keep making that comparison, but it's a pretty, I guess, a good comparison.
Are you watching any kind of anime or playing any games recently that you want to see more fan art of?
To be honest, because as I mentioned earlier, I work so much, workaholic. I don't really consume or watch a lot of anime or games. As far as anime, I'm only aware of new anime, like modern contemporary anime, because of the porn or like stuff that I might find like on like, you know, a doujin or doujinshi or something like that. So I'll be like, oh, okay, so that character, she's really cute. But as far as actually like watching any of it, I kind of got stopped watching anime after like the 2010 or something like that. And anytime before that time period, after that, I just don't have time for anymore. But most of the anime I watched, when I did watch a lot of anime, was like from the 90s and the early 2000s. That was just kind of like when I was still like very young and probably my most nostalgic days of anime consumption, for sure.
Have any favorites back then?
I am a big fan of Bubblegum Crisis. I don't know if y'all know that one.
When did that come out?
I want to say like there's actually two Bubblegum Crisis series. I think there's an original one from like the 90s. And there's another one in the 2000s that got remade. So the art styles are quite different, because the anime, the eras of styles is quite different. But both of them I love. I also love Gunsmith Katz, who's the artist that also did the original designs of the 90s, I think, that time period of Bubblegum Crisis. But as far as maybe what first got me into like loli characters was, I don't know if y'all know this anime. No, they're a really old one. Nadesco.
I don't think I've heard of that.
I'm not familiar with it. I was trying to think if I had heard it at any point in time or seen it in porn.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely old. There's a character, a loli in there named Ruri Hoshino. The anime is called Martian Successor Nadesico. She's this cute little like loli girl with like pigtails, blue hair. And I remember back then I was, I don't know, fuck, maybe like 13 or 12, maybe like pretty young. And I would watch this on like, might even been VHS because I'm that old. At that time, I was just obsessed with this character. She was just so cute. And I didn't really, I guess, think of her like sexually or anything. I just thought she was just so cute. It wasn't until I think I came across like a lot of typical hentai from like Dragonfall or like Sailor Moon. That indirectly, I guess, exposed me to, or directly exposed me to like loli porn and stuff like that. And that's when I became aware that I was like, oh shit, maybe that's why I like Ryoshi, as like, not just because he's cute, but like that I can get behind, like, you know, the sexiness and the scene of it. But on one hand, I was like, at the time I was still young myself, so it wasn't like something that registered in my mind as far as like my interest now as far as age difference. This boy, like, oh, she's like kind of like my age or something like that, right? So I guess my exposure to loli at a young age, I think it was just like, I didn't really think much of the taboo nature of it because it just felt like, oh, it's just like another like way for me to self-insert, maybe as like, you know, someone being similar age that I might find another girl like her age, like attractive or something like that in real life. So I didn't like think much of that taboo nature, right?
I think it was pretty similar for us as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very similar. Like I did not think of straight Shota stuff as anything like to, you know. I just was just like, oh, this is awesome.
Right.
The character is similar age to me, or yeah, you know, so it's entertaining. It's because it was also different too. It was different than the other stuff I had seen, explored. And I'm just like, oh, this is cool. I never knew about this, this interaction of age difference, and it's cool. I like it.
Yeah. And I think at that time when I was younger, in my exposure to like, hentai, anime really wasn't like mainstream like it was now. Like it was still very, very like geeky or nerdy or like something that most people, like nowadays, like I could literally talk to any of my coworkers and they will like start listing off a bunch of like modern anime that I have no fucking idea, but they're it's like normies, like every single normie like watching anime. But back then, like, you would not find anime anywhere. Like, this is before, like, it came to, like, Barnes & Nobles and the manga, like, you know, Best Buy and DVDs. Like, this is way before then. And my only exposure to anime was waking up super early as a kid. A Saturday morning cartoon, they would play, like, Dragon Ball. Not Dragon Ball Z, but, like, Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon. And I just thought it was, like, it was so cool. And then, you know, getting online and finding out that there's porn of it, it was just like, changed my life. I think I want to say like the early 2000s, maybe like 2005 or so. A lot of the hentai that I was able to find was from a site called Hentai Palm. That was super popular back in the day. I think it was like a forum or a gallery site or something. And there's another one called Euphoric Visions, which was basically e-hentai or Sad Panda. This was back in 2005 when it was known as Euphoric Visions. And that was where I found a lot of like the doujins of like Evangelion and like Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball.
With hentai, back in the day, it was all about the forums.
Yes, yes, it's exactly. That was the way that people shared and communicated our interests and stuff like that. But now that's pretty much how I guess I got into loli shoujo myself, was around that period in the early 2000s.
A lot of our guests have had very similar experiences. And including ourselves.
Yeah.
Hydro and I, we started liking it when we were younger. And even at the time, we didn't necessarily know the term Shonen Lolly.
No.
I only really became aware of it when people made a big deal about it. So
yeah, yeah. I was just like, oh, that's what it is. Oh, okay. And I don't even remember the sites I went to. I just remember one of my first straight show things was the one made by, I'm sure you're familiar with this one, Koi, the ones made by Pandora's Box, the Dragon Ball ones.
Yes.
That was like one of my first exposures to it. And I was just like, oh man, this is great. I remember like I kept reading it over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked it. I think it was Kama Sutra or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, that was it. Yep.
I do believe that artist, I don't know if it's still the same artist, but I think they still might be doing stuff, but under a different name.
I think they belong to a website now or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Milstoons or something like that.
Yes.
I could be wrong. And it's someone that's like heavily inspired by their style.
That's true. Or that could be that too. It's very possible.
I definitely know Jitama. I'm a big fan of their art as well. Back to though the topic about, it's kind of ironic that I'm the admin of social media platform that is Brog when I actually personally don't like social media. Like, I actually, I'm being honest, kind of hate social media. Like my personal self, like I don't have a Facebook. I don't have an Instagram. I don't have like a, like I don't interact, and makes it kind of hard socializing in real life because I might have friends or people that might like say like ask me out or something on a, they show like an interest in like going out on a date or something. And naturally they're going to be like, hey, so like, can I add you on like Instagram or like whatever? And I tell them like, naturally I don't have an Instagram or something. And they think I'm lying. They think like, I just don't want to like add them. But no, like I don't, I'm not on social media because I hate social media. I think it's toxic. But again, that's just rich considering I administrate one, like I have to moderate one.
But you created Brag out of essentially necessity, not because you love social media.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like to me. It's because, like you said, Tumblr had its issues and then there's Twitter and all that. And there weren't a lot of places for artists to go. So, I mean, so I completely understand where you're coming from on that. It's not, I don't think it's super rich, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of reflects when you look at my own broad profile. Like, I very rarely, very, very rarely interact, leave comments, the word, talk about my own personal life or anything like that, or my opinions, especially when it comes to like politics and stuff like that. Like, literally all my head is on my profile and Brog is just me boosting other artists because that's all I really actually care about. I'm just trying to get exposure to other artists. I'm not fine to push a spotlight on me. Don't care about talking about me. I just want to show off artists that I really like or think I think to deserve attention. Right? That's just really what it's about.
Yeah, and that's why I think Brog is a much more like, you know, the purpose of Brog has a much better, like, more reason to exist as opposed to Facebook and Twitter and stuff, because all those things are for profit. You know, you're not in it for profit. You're actually trying to help out other artists try to make a living and try to network and try to have a place where they can just post art that they couldn't post on other places or might have gotten banned from. So I think, you know, and Brog is leagues better than any other social media platform from that.
Well, thank you for saying that.
So we're almost to the end of the episode. Wait, would you like to say anything encouraging or supportive of artists or people in the community, whether it's the community in general or people who are registered on Brog?
Yeah, I really appreciate the support that I've gotten on Brog. I appreciate all the artists that call it a whole and upload their works. The artists that depend on it to make a living, the artists that use it as a coping mechanism because they themselves have maybe even experienced abuse. And I think that's a completely valid way to safely just engage in their trauma is art itself. There's so many different reasons that an artist might want to use Barag, and not even because it's problematic or anything. They just want to support the idea that they can freely post something, freely post their art. I hope to always keep this a place for those people to safely upload their works without fear of being banned in places like Twitter or whatever. I really appreciate it. I'm thankful that you guys had me on this podcast. I don't normally talk about this with a lot of people. So I do appreciate the opportunity for you to have me on and talk about.
That's why we were glad to give you this opportunity to be able to talk about these things. We obviously want to see Barag and many other, well, pretty much everybody else who is on Barag and regularly uses it wants to see it last. So what are the best ways that people can support you? Like, what we're going to be putting the links to whatever support places we can help, because I actually contribute on Subscribestar to the Barag server myself. I've done it for I think a couple of years now.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. That means so much to me that you've been supporting me. And even if you can't afford to even just support me at all, good monetary means, I think if you can just share with other people the links to Subscribestar or my fan box, either of those. I also accept crypto, but that's a little controversial for a lot of artists. I'm not trying to push that too much. But if you want to send me crypto, I will take that too. But as far as just using your credit card or using PayPal, Subscribestar and Fanbox, I really would appreciate anything, even just like $1 a month. That would go toward the long ways just keeping the lights on for Barag. I'd really appreciate it.
And what are the links to those sites? Like, you can like say it in the episode and then we'll show it on the episode itself.
Okay, so you can support me on Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/Barag. And on Fanbox, you can support the Instance System Yeti at barag.fanbox.cc.
Nice.
As Quay said, any support helps. So seriously consider doing it to support Barag and art freedom in general, because I feel like Barag is such a huge part of that. And as we said earlier in the video, if you have the skills to do it or the means to do it, just consider helping, you know, art freedom in general by making your own instance. But yeah, it was great having you, Quinn. That was such a great talk, and honestly, we've wanted to have you on for such a while since.
Yeah, we have.
Barag is such an important pillar of the community.
Yeah. Thank you so much again, Dr. X, Hydro, for having me on Doc L's podcast. I want to apologize if I get a little long-winded, a little ranty about some things, just because I'm just really passionate about, again, just Barag and art and artists and having a place for these artists to just be able to freely share their work. So if I come across as I don't know, maybe negative on certain things, it's just because I'm just maybe passionate about trying to make it right.
Of course, and you know, we all need to get that stuff out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
like you said, you haven't really been able to talk about this with very many people, so this is the whole big reason why we came up with this podcast, is so that people who have not been able to really communicate stuff can do it and very openly, very transparently, and you know, now other people will get to hear, and they might, you know, share similar experiences and talking about it. And the main goal is to get things to be better. And Dr. X and I believe that is happening, and it continue to happen.
Yeah, I think that's really admirable. There's not really a lot of other podcasts that touch on these kind of taboo subjects. So it's nice to, especially when a lot of the guests that you have on your show, on your podcast, they themselves, again, have really not a lot public outlets, maybe just between their own friends, but it's just so stigmatized and looked down upon that it's awesome that you guys are getting a space for us to talk about the thing.
Yeah, we're happy to do so. And thank you again for coming on, Koi. Really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.